You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
Welcome to the School of Influence podcast, where the queen and king of influencer marketing, authors and professors Amanda Russell and Neil Schaefer, cut through the noise and dissect what makes brands and professionals influential. No fluff, just the real deal.
Hey, everybody. Neil Schaefer. I'm here with Amanda Russell. Welcome to another episode of the School of Influence podcast. As you know, the way we operate this podcast is I bring in some guests, introduce them to Amanda. Amanda brings in some guests, introduce them to me. It's always exciting to hear who Amanda has lined up for us. You know that she's introduced us to some incredible guests, and today is no exception. Amanda, I'm going to hand the mic over to you.
Thanks, Neil. I am very excited about today's guest because she is one of my oldest friends from New York when I first moved there years ago, and one of my favorite people and one of the most brilliant, articulate, curious, and interesting people I've come across. Kanika Chattagupta. She is a media professional. She's the CEO and founder of the Chronology Agency, which is a full service. And she started this agency well before this was even really a thing. Full service digital marketing firm specializing in branding, web design, brand videos. She's a digital enthusiast. She's had record success in increasing web traffic using trends, analytics, fostering consumer engagement, and also fostering relationships through some really big powerhouses, including some of the ones that we've had on our show, thanks to her. She has a podcast called That's Total Mom Sense, interviewing mega thought leaders, TED speakers, and a lot of guests include powerhouse female women with children, including Bobbi Brown and Natalie Morales, Rebecca Minkoff, Gabby Bernstein, to name a few. She's also a former CNN television anchor and executive producer. Gosh, you were actually in Mumbai when the terror attacks happened and interviewed Slumdog Millionaire at the Oscars. You've interviewed Priyanka Chopra, Lily Singh. So when we talk about influence, you've really had it kind of across the board. So I could go on and on in your bio, but I usually just kind of keep it brief, but I think it was worth name dropping a few because it's an influence podcast. So Kanika, thank you so much for being on our show today.
Oh my gosh, my pleasure. Thank you both.
So I would love to hear a little bit about your, so you came from a background of traditional media, CNN, and covering news and media, and then you decided to pivot. And I remember when you did this and start an agency, a digital marketing agency. And what was the evolution of that? And how did you sort of get to where you are now?
Yes, absolutely. I feel like, you know, I'm so humbled by how you described who I am, and I'm insatiably inquisitive and curious. And I knew that when I joined media, I wanted to make sure I was on the pulse of all things cutting edge. And I loved being in broadcast journalism and in television. And I feel it taught me a lot, especially when I had to do live shots and, you know, do interviews out on the field. But when I moved back to New York, because I was posted in India when I was with CNN. So when I moved back, I actually met with the director, the news director at CNN in New York. And he said, we're doing a round of layoffs. There's no jobs. And so that's kind of what was the impetus for it all. I thought, okay, you know, let me use this as a harbinger for what's to come. Television is not what it is anymore. And so I just kind of got resourceful and thought, how could I use my skill set, which was in production and video and storytelling, in a new way? And so in 2015, I launched Chronology Agency. And in between that, I had worked for a startup. So that's where I kind of had to wear many hats and became this webmaster of sorts. And so that's what led me to founding my own company. And Now I work with clients and brands and I help them tell their story online. And I feel like it's so important to be able to create a narrative that's memorable because, you know, we all know this, branding, websites, it's your first impression. And now in a pandemic where everything's remote, it's even more of a lasting impression. So you want to leave a good one.
And you've had you've had this network for a long time, but it didn't seem to matter if it was somebody you already knew, but I've watched you grow and get some of the quote unquote, like busiest people on the planet that don't have time for anything and have their people resonate really firsthand with you and move basically when you do something, they jump. And I think that scales. I mean, you know, that's how brands get endorsed and scale, whether it's an agency, whether it's your podcast. How were you able to do that? Was it a lot of it coming from your background, like connections as your background as a reporter, or was it like cold outreach? Was it like, how were you, I think people listen to this, they're like, how did you manage to do that? How are you managing to form these connections and get these endorsements from, you know, very famous people, big brands?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I think there's no substitute for tenacity. You just have to put yourself out there. And I think what helped was the fact that I am credible and I come from, you know, this line of work. And so, you know, when I had to ask these, global thought leaders to be on my podcast, I feel like because I had that pedigree, it helped because they're like, oh, okay, she comes from CNN. She probably knows what she's doing. So that helps. And I make sure to not just, talk the talk, I walk the walk too. So I put in the research and, I make sure to leave a compelling interview in the end when I meet someone. But yes, networking is another big, big component. I think it's so important when you're kind of clawing your way to the top with your fingernails, if you have to. You should never forget the people who help you along the way. If I get an introduction, I make sure to really foster that relationship. And I'm a part of many different networks. One that I absolutely love now that I'm a mom is Hey Mama. And you can just look them up, heymama.co, and they are international now. And so a lot of these pioneering women are Hey Mamas, Reshma Sojani and Rebecca Minkoff and Bobby Brown also has done some events for them. So, I made sure to kind of reach out and I even if I was in touch with the assistant, personalize my request as to why they would make a great guest on the show, how I want to tell their story, shine a light on them, their life lessons. And then I take it from there and I make sure to, again, be great with the following up and be so grateful and gracious that they give me their time.
Kanika, you made the transition from journalism to successful agency owner. And that's something I want to unpack a little because there's a lot of really, really smart people out there that have that journalism background that maybe didn't go that route. Maybe they went the content marketing route, content writing agency, but you went the full marketing agency route. What was that transition like? And what do you think you owe your success to?
Sure. I feel like it was definitely scary. It was uncharted waters. I don't have a tech background. And when I launched the agency, I was like, it was big time imposter syndrome. I just felt like I have a, master's in journalism and are clients going to want to work with me if I don't have that CS degree or those chops? And I feel like what set me apart was my eye for design, was my knack for storytelling. So you really got to find out what your shtick is, and own it and say, this is my X factor. And even though any market, all markets are saturated, when you really hone in on what your USP is, and believe that you can add value in a completely different way, people believe in you. And so, I got my first few clients who were family friends and then delivered and over-delivered. And from there, it was like other brands were taking notice, bigger companies were taking notice. And so, you just kind of build yourself from there and then in the end have a pretty robust portfolio.
Yeah, I like what you say too about, we kind of talk about the consumer journey, right? And we, a lot of times we focus on like the new clients or the new wins or whatever. But I think you spoke to something that I really like, which is the idea of like retaining and fostering and growing those relationships, because there's so many intangibles that come from having these great relationships. And that's something that you do really well, is the connection piece. From the outreach, actually from a cold outreach as well, because I've seen you do it before, and I'm always like moved in terms of like, maybe I should slow down myself. And the amount of research that you do on everyone you come across, it really is. And I think that's something I'll take away for the listeners, is it's very evident to somebody reading an email from you or an introduction from you that you didn't just do it on the fly.
Oh yeah. No copy paste.
And people, especially busy people, notice stuff like that. Like there's no template email. Like even the depths that you go into, I think I don't doubt that that's a lot big reason why you've been able to form some of the connections that you have, and then, you know, really follow up. You're right. You're very gracious. The follow up, follow through, the nurturing of the relationships. It's amazing. But I think, you know, it's a reminder to me in listening as well. It's a big thing that Neil and I talk about, is the connection piece and the authenticity of the relationship piece.
Sure.
Through. So has that always been your way? Like, how were you taught that? Or what do you like? Cause you're super, I mean, you're a mom, you're a wife, and you've got this agency and you've got this podcast, but yet when I read your emails or I see the way you do things, you're so thoughtful and process oriented about it that, you know, in a world where we're always rushed, like what makes you do that? How do you go about doing that? How do you find enough time in the day?
Oh, wow. Thank you. That's so sweet. I'm so glad that, you know, it's kind of left an impact in that way. And I think I've always been that way. I'm hardwired to be an empath. And so when I meet someone, somehow, whatever their journey is, their triumphs, their pitfalls, how much ever I can find out about their story, I internalize them myself, you know, and I just think of, if you can somehow befriend that person, even though they're a complete stranger, find a common connection, find a thread, it just makes that relationship that much more meaningful. And so I've always kind of been like that with anyone I meet. And you do have to be very selective. I feel like, you know, there's so many people you're going to meet along the way in your career, but there are a few that just get you. And so hang on to those people, because they're going to help you and be part of your journey, you know? And so I think that's also really important. And yeah, I don't copy and paste, you know, email outreach. I think it's pretty disingenuous. I mean, I get that it's definitely efficient and easier, but again, be selective. And if you know that there's, you know, these top five people that you want to have on your show, or you want to, you know, these top five brands that you want to work with, make sure that you put in that time, do that research, find out about, you know, the CEO story. And, you know, maybe they went to the same college you went to, maybe they grew up where you went, and, you know, find that connection. You have to do some digging. And then that's that icebreaker, you know, and then as you kind of facilitate that relationship and, you know, have it grow stronger, then they'll always look out for you.
Yeah, it's great advice, Kenneth. I was going to ask exactly for those listening, for those influencers that want to reach out to brands, or the brands that want to reach out to influencers, that outreach is so critical, yet so many fail because they don't follow that exact advice. They want to scale, they mass spam, they don't do any homework. So that's really, really great advice. I'm also curious, because part of what made you who you are today and the growth of your business and your podcast, your network, is that networking, those connections. So I'm curious, at some point, do you find that tapping into your own network unleashes a lot of opportunities where you don't need to do as much outreach, and you can rely more on your network for those introductions, which ultimately will probably be more successful, an introduction coming from someone that they know rather than getting an email from a stranger, right?
Yes, exactly. That's exactly right. Yeah. So especially if you are kind of interacting with a big brand or a thought leader, and, you know, you leave them with a really great product in the end, they're very happy with your work, and you've facilitated this like friendship, then it's totally like warranted for you to say, do you have other brands you can put me in touch with? Or do you have other friends of yours in your network that you think would be ideal for the show. And they're happy to do it because they're like, I had an amazing experience. Of course, I'm going to tell five of my girlfriends to, you know, get interviewed by you. And so that's how it stems off. And I love how you say that because it's just that much deeper and you're not just cold calling, you know, throwing spaghetti at the wall.
And Kenick, I've also noticed being the way it is in the corporate world, people move on as well.
Yeah.
So I've gotten business from one client from, you know, company A to company B to company C. And all along the way, you also get other introductions as well. Yes. So it's all about over delivering and bringing as much value to that relationship as possible, right?
Yes, exactly. And I mean, it's almost like you plant your seeds and then the garden will grow, but you really have to, you know, put in that time and effort before you see the fruits of your labor. And so those seeds, that like farming, if you will, is so, so important. It's not just the hunting that's going to get you there.
Amen to that.
And just to switch gears a little bit, do you do with your agency, do you have a lot of clients that come to you for brand collaborations and influencer campaigns? And how do you go about that? Because I know that you definitely break the stereotype of an influencer advertising pay to post. So how do you go, like, do you do that kind of this kind of outreach for your clients? And if so, like, can you give an example of a good one or a failed one? Or?
Yeah, sure. So that isn't one of my service offerings. I remember you and I explored that for a little bit where we worked together. I, in fact, because I have my own personal brand, that's Total Mom Sense, I'm serving as an influencer to brands. And so I only really do this for myself. And I've learned so much along the way. And a great example I can give is this brand called Homer. They are a kids app that, you know, is ideal for kids ages 2 through 8. And I am friends with, and I've known her for forever, with the CMO. And so after we had just a catch up session over Zoom, then she said, you have to meet the CEO because she has a really compelling story and she's super dynamic. So then I met the CEO, Stephanie Dua, again, long Zoom session. We hit it off and I came up with something very unique in my approach and in serving as an influencer and really promoter of her brand. And I said, you know, with podcasts, everyone just does the 30-second or 60-second pre-roll or mid-roll ad. And that's that. We hear them all the time and, you know, they're all the rage now. And I have a bunch of pre-roll on my shows and I get it. But I said, I want to go a step further for you. And I'm not going to do this for all brands. But with Homer, I said, you cater to children. Those are your consumers, but your customers are parents. And you want to position yourself as a viable thought leader, as an expert who, I mean, she worked with Bloomberg and was in the public school system and had access to the top literacy experts in the world. And so when you're doing phonics and reading and math, and when a child is learning that on Homer, it's so different from the other apps out there. So I said, you need to position yourself as a thought leader in this industry, you know? And so we created our own segment called At Home with Homer, with, you know, to support parents who are homeschooling their kids during the pandemic or through the summer now. And it's wonderful. It's just a 5-minute segment. And it's an exchange between me and Stephanie where we talk about all different things like building a child's math confidence or teaching your toddler how to read. And these are things that parents are like constantly Googling and like scrambling for resources for. And now she gets to share that on my show. And, you know, we have our arrangement for that on a retainer. And then I get to highlight a brand I believe in, you know, to my audience who's going to love it just as much. So I think you have to just find authentic ways. It's like, what are you good at? What are the, you know, service offerings in your wheelhouse? And for me, it's my show and my storytelling. And it's like, what does the brand need from you? She needs to have airtime. They're not going to go launch their own podcast, you know, so I'm able to give them that and have her directly reach the customers that are in my audience.
I love that. And I actually told Neil that story a while back in terms of like, you know, having a, you know, we launched a podcast together and there's various different ways to go about getting sponsorship and do, working with brands and whatnot. And I loved your model of rather than just kind of getting a bunch of random one-offs, that you like put the work in and really customized building this relationship with this brand that you thought that you love this brand so much that you were like, how can I get to know them better? How can I give them a pitch that I can work with them long-term? So, I mean, and that works across the board, whether it's a podcast that you have, or, you know, yourself as a brand, or an Instagram channel or whatever. So, I'm taking notes and get on the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's so important to think, it's not this what's in it for me attitude. It's what value can I bring this brand or this person? Yeah. And then they want to work with you because you've spelled out like, these are all the things you're going to gain from this partnership, rather than I want to work with you so bad.
Exactly.
Kanika, you're someone, one of our few guests that actually has their own podcast. So I wanted to ask you, this is sort of top of mind. I'm actually tomorrow, I don't know if you're going to be there, but I'm flying to Nashville, Tennessee for the podcast movement.
Yeah, awesome. You're going to be there? Yeah, no, I'm not. I had to miss it. But of course, I know about all the promotions and it's going to be an amazing event.
Yeah, this is going to be our first time going there. And by the time this publishes, it'll already be over. Maybe we'll do a special episode on it. But I'm just curious because I know looking at the guide that there's a lot more talk about branded podcasts of brands saying, you know what, let's bypass the influencer and become the influencer. So,
right.
You know, as a final note to sort of sum up what we talked about, I'm really curious about, because you are a podcaster and you have worked with brands, you know, vis-a-vis podcasting influence, what is your take on the future of podcasting, at least for the next 6 to 12 months, and what brands should be thinking of in terms of how strategic of a play can podcasting be, whether it's collaborating with influencers or launching their own channel?
Yeah, sure. I mean, brands, I feel like, have a leg up because they have the capital and they have the access to celebrities, you know? And so let's say Nike wanted to come up with their own podcast. I mean, they could have LeBron on every week if they wanted, you know? Yeah. And so they could get very, very strategic about it. And those who are diehard, you know, basketball fans are going to tune in. So you really just know your audience and figure out, like, are they being served? But I feel like what's authentic about those who are podcasters is really shedding light on just a variety of brands and making sure that each one is serving their audience in a different way, you know? And so you really have to know who that listener is. And for me, it's, predominantly parents and moms. And then those who are just like women, I feel like across the board, women listen to my show, whether they're moms or not. So I make sure to work with brands who are in the lifestyle space, in wellness and in parenting, you know, and so that they're getting served in different ways. And that's how a podcaster could have a leg up. But I do see that, you know, it is the golden age of podcasting. There's no denying that. And the pandemic actually created this spike. There were 700,000 at the beginning of 2020. And I think we're at, like, you know, 1.8 million podcasts out there in the universe. And so it's incredible to see how exponential the reach is and how everyone's on this bandwagon. Because you get to passively listen and you get to go about your life. That's what I love about it. You know, it doesn't, you know, you're not like captive to watching a full video if you don't want to. It's just, it can be playing in the background of your life. So I think that's why brands have caught wind of that and they want to do it too, you know?
Yeah. And I guess the net is, if you're Nike and you have your fans and you have access to celebrities, then what, you know, where have you been? Why haven't you started? Yeah. But if you're not, then obviously the podcaster who has a broader reach also has an authentic voice that when they talk about you, assuming that there's mutual value there, when they talk about you, it just resonates in a completely different way than if you were to do the same thing yourself.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that's so important. And again, the kind of leg up that we have is our storytelling. You know, you can try to hire a marketing department and, I don't know, like having those who are really good conversationalists and journalists who know what they're doing. I think that like provides for a much more engaging experience. So you can't just have, you know, the intern host the show. Yeah, I feel like it's not going to land.
And that's really where your background really brings you a lot of credibility, but also skill set, because even now, you know, I'm listening to this like YouTube podcast for influencers, and all they talk about is it's all about storytelling. So indeed, regardless of text, audio, video, it comes down to that. And you were trained and you actually have that actual field experience in it. And that's just incredible. That's really hard for people to understand and to gain. So on that note, what's next for you and your brand and your agency?
Yes. Well, now I have That's What Mom Sends merch.
Oh, nice.
And so that's been exciting. And I feel like I want to enhance, you know, the user's podcasting experience with whatever I'm providing. So I'm working with Bodewell Living, and they do candles. So you can light, you know, a fragrant candle. There's cozy socks, hoodies, tanks, earbuds. So all these things that are like related to your listening experience, which was a recent launch of mine. And I'm working on my book. And so this is something that Amanda and I are going to talk about at length, but it's so exciting. I feel like it's a labor of love to like take your heart out and put it on a page, but it's rooted in the stories that I've done with the podcast. So all the, you know, the celebrities and thought leaders, and just extraordinary women who've been on the show are going to be in this book. And it's going to be, just like something you want to keep on your nightstand if you're, you know, looking to have kids and you're a mom or you're in the thick of it and you're hearing from these women in their most like truest, vulnerable way. And you learn from those life lessons, you know, so that's what I'm working on next. And hopefully not for too long.
Can't wait.
Thank you.
Annika doesn't ever slow down. She's so like thoughtful oriented, like in a slow pace, but yet doesn't ever slow down. It's even through like twin babies and everything. I mean, crazy. And for those listening, you have to listen to her podcast. I've recommended it to so many of my friends, moms and dads, because you know, I recall the reason why you started this podcast when you explained it to me, and I think Neil would actually be interested in this as well. And it always stuck out in that you didn't want to, you were so tired of finding another parenting podcast where all they do is like rant and rant about parenting.
Yes.
And
that's not helpful.
No, it's not. Yeah, exactly. I remember it was after I had my third, and I had three kids in a year and a half. So I was like thrown into the deep end, you know, and it was just, I had to figure my way out of it. And I feel like asking questions is how I did it. And I was listening to podcasts all the time while I was nursing at 3 a.m. And I found that like the space was bereft of a show that's informative, engaging, and inclusive. And I wanted to make sure that it was insightful too. Like so much of it is like, oh my God, breastfeeding. Oh my God, potty training. What are you, think about the audience member. You can do that talk with a friend, but does a listener want to sit through 45 minutes of that? Like, no, you know, so give them something of value. And in my case, I like bring on these best-selling authors who have written books on parenting, if you will. And it's like, let's hear their, you know, top tangible takeaways so that it's making this person's life easier, you know? And so that's the whole point is like, does that exist? And I just had to create the show for that reason. I was like, I know there's other parents that are searching the way I am, and I'm going to build this thing.
Yeah, I'll never forget. We came home with, you know, a 3-day-old baby, and it's, you're a first-time parent. It's like, there's no user manual.
No, yeah, it's true. It's
so true. What the heck do we do now?
How do we troubleshoot? Yeah, no, it's really hard. It's really hard. And you, I feel like there's a lot of, you know, just voices in your head and people talking in your ear, do it this way, do it that way, do it this way. But the reason why, you know, I called the show Mom Sense, and it's just a pun and play on words, is I feel like we are built with this sixth sense, this intuition. And so you trust that, you know, don't let a doctor or an in-law or a nanny or anybody tell you different on how to raise your kid. You trust your instinct, your mom sense, and it'll never steer you wrong.
I love that.
All right. Before we become a parenting podcast, yeah. I think we should. So, Kanika, where can people, once again, the name of your podcast, as well as the name of your agency website, as well as your merch website, or any place you want to send our listeners?
Sure. Absolutely. So my agency is Chronology Agency, spelled with a K. And the show is That's Total Mom Sense. And you can find it online. That's the web address, thatstotalmomsense.com. And I'm pretty active on Instagram. So you can follow me at Kanika Chadha Gupta.
Awesome. We'll put that in the show notes.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being on our podcast today. And all the show notes will be below.
Thank you so much, Kanika.
Thank you both. This was so fun.
Thanks for listening to the School of Influence podcast. Amanda and Neil would be honored if you spend a minute to write a review wherever you are listening to this podcast to help expose these interviews to a broader audience. Make sure you hit the subscribe button so you don't miss out on future episodes. Even better, build your influence and ours by sharing this podcast on your favorite social media with hashtag School of Influence. We would love to hear from and engage with you.